Welcome to God's Word for Us.com, Ghana's online Christian station. Be blessed as you listen to messages on the site.
But we all with an open face beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even by the Spirit of the Lord. This is an occasion where resolves are compelled with Apostle Ephra Emmanuel. As we behold God's Word today, we become the true reflection of His Word. You will be blessed.
I want to share with you the warfare of the believer. The warfare of the believer. 2 Timothy chapter 4 from verse 7. Know God, oh, know God. Don't know about God. Know Him. Know Him like I know Him. Not I heard about Him. That knowledge of Him is not sufficient. You must know Him. Second Timothy chapter 4, from verse 7. Let's read together, everybody. I need it to sound like it is your own confession. That's why I want us to read together. So let's read as loud as we can. 1, 2, go. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Let's do it one more time. 1, 2, go. May this be your confession at the end of your life. May this be your confession when you transit from this realm. In the name of Jesus Christ. The apostle began by, I have fought a good fight. And so we all thought that the Christian faith and our fellowship with the divine was an invitation into a life of rest, a life of peace, a life of tranquility. A place where suddenly you now have rest. Meanwhile, I've shared with us. The rest Jesus promised you is a burden. He says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. The moment he said rest, I know you wanted to take a deep breath and say, fine. He now said, take my yoke upon you. So you that came with a heavy luggage, and you say, thank you, Jesus, for relieving. He says, my yoke is easy and my own burden is light. So you can never be without burden. Once upon a time, any spirit can cast their burden on you and you will be restless until you carry out the dictate of that burden. But when the burden of the Lord rests upon you, holiness, righteousness, becoming a reflection of the kingdom becomes your obsession. So you find out that the way you can be restless in iniquity, you can also sustain a level of restlessness in the path of purity. That anything that can spot your garment, it keeps you in a state of restlessness until you have restituted your ways with God. I have fought the good fight. Which fight was he talking about? I'll be showing you maybe just two warfares. For the sake of time, two layers of warfare that the believer will fight if he must emerge victorious in this life. Very quickly, the first, the battle against focus. The battle against focus. How can you walk when you don't know the way of the wind? How can you run when you don't know the way of the Spirit? How can you fly when you don't know the way of the wind? Power at work in you, changing everything in obedience to Christ. Huh. Listen. He's the whole
Holy Ghost, Spirit of the living God. He's the Holy Ghost, Scepter of the King of Kings. He's the Holy Ghost, Seal of the age to come. He's changing everything in obedience to Christ.
The battle of focus. Before I go into the text, let me give you a premise for the concept of focus we are looking at. The believer is saved, born again, washed by the blood of Jesus. His spirit is recreated and reborn after the order of the Christus. But he looks at his life and finds out that there is still appetites, proclivities, yearning, desires for the old nature. The believer associates himself verbally with God. And when you look at him, you can see one or two areas of struggles. The average young man who walks out and gives his life to Christ, even when you are discipling them, you can still see that yearning, that nature of the world trying to still overpower them. Time to time, they even come to a point of confusion where the things which they want to do, they don't see themselves doing it. It is this old craving that continues to rear its ugly head. Many people have come to a point where they even doubt whether they are genuinely born again. Some people actually ask questions like, do I really have the Holy Spirit? Why do I still sin? Am I really born of God? Why do I still fall? There are days Satan can buffet your conscience and heap accusations on your soul to an extent that even your walk with God, you doubt it. It's a battle of focus. See, look at me. As long as your attention is on me, you can be describing what I'm wearing, you can be saying things that you can see about me. The moment you remove your attention from me and goes to the drummer, and you still want to be talking about me, everything you are trying to say going forward will be erroneous. Because your sight, your focus is not on the object of what you are talking about. Amen? Hallelujah. The believer gives his life to Jesus. A sinner now comes rather into the kingdom, gives his life to Jesus. But all we are teaching them is the flesh, how to overcome the flesh, how powerful the flesh is, how the flesh can attack and make sure that the word of God will not prosper. The flesh is an ancient technology. The flesh is this, the flesh that. How the flesh has a demonic appetite in it. In all of these things we are saying, we are focusing the eye of this believer on the flesh. Meanwhile, the life he now has in God is not in his flesh, it's in his spirit. If you have ever seen anybody who is in a dilemma where they want to stand, but certain things continue to mitigate against their intention to live holy with God, it's because it's a focus challenge. Meanwhile, this is the real focus of demons. They want to continue to keep the frailty, your challenge, your fall, your mistake, your compromise around your gates. Then what you'll be doing is a first aid measure. Why did I have this kind of evil thought? We will fast. That your fasting, what you are trying to do with it is to rid your heart of corruption. Meanwhile, inside your spirit is a holy nature. Your spirit has been reborn to look exactly like the Christ. Let me show you a scripture very quickly. Romans chapter 8 from verse 5. Romans chapter 8 from verse 5. Everybody, let's read together as loud. Please, I need everybody to be loud with me tonight. 1, 2, go. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the spirit, the things of the... Just pause here first. Pause here. Hi. The human body is the only place where these two worlds cohabit. So the spirit realm and the physical realm both cohabited inside the human body. So a man has the decision to either live from his spirit or live from his flesh. If your flesh is what you are living by, it means that you will still be able to sense the yearning of your spirit, but actually the controller, the person whose yearning, whose intentions, whose will you are abiding by is the flesh. And the flesh will give you its own education. It will give you its own food, its own appetite. It will churn these things out. Meanwhile, you can live either through your flesh or you can live through your spirit. But Satan will never have you live by your spirit. He wants you to try to do spiritual things in the flesh, using the flesh, but trying to achieve heights that only your spirit man has capacity to. He wants your consciousness to be particularly around the flesh. Let me show you. Verse 13, very quickly. Let's jump to verse 13. Let's read together. 1, 2, go. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the spirit mortify the deeds of the body. I want to see something in this scripture. Please, are we together? The Bible says, yea. Then it says flesh. Then it says spirit. So he separated you from flesh, you from spirit. He's saying you can choose to live by flesh, or you, which is the yea, can live by spirit. Is that in your Bible? Hallelujah. If yea live after the flesh, yea shall die. So the flesh in this particular matter is not you. It is a government. It is a nature. The spirit also is a government. Is a nature. At salvation, the life of God is created, is reborn in your spirit man. Your spirit man is reborn, having the full life of Christ inside it. Now, that life that is in your spirit is warring against another kind of life that is in your flesh. You now, that is the consciousness, your soul, you choose whether you want to obey your flesh or your spirit. Now, the moment you try to be creative by saying you will live from the flesh but you will try to obey the spirit, the Bible says you will die. It's not possible to attain the particular life of God that you desire if you don't live from the spirit. Verse 14, very quickly. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God. No. Just read it out for yourself one more time. 1, 2, go. You see what I'm sharing with you? The Spirit of God tabernacles on your human spirit and recreates your human spirit. It is that spirit that is now on your inside that gives you the identity as a son of God. You can have that spirit, but you don't live by that spirit, you are not a child of God. Amen. A son of God is those who are led. If the spirit is not leading you, you are not a son of God. You can carry the spirit and live in disobedience. You can have the spirit of God on your inside and always obey your flesh. Your flesh is the greatest authority over you. The Bible says, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, it is these ones that are those. So it is about who you yielded to. It is about the person's instruction that you follow. That is what makes you a son. Who are the sons of God? It's not anybody that came and said, Lord Jesus, come into my life. Because he can be in you and you will continue to disregard his laws, disregard his nudges, disregard his instruction. It is those who have yielded to the whispers of the Spirit. Meanwhile, there is nobody that sins in this world that does not know what is right. God has written his laws on the tablet of your heart. Even people who have never heard the gospel, if they do what is wrong in the sight of men and they have not seen any law, there is a guilt that is naturally in the heart of man, knowing that this thing is wrong. He says, walk in the Spirit and you will not fulfill the desires of the flesh. See, these things are spelled in black and white. If you want to overcome this thing called flesh, he says, be intentional to make your walk in the Spirit. So, go for what the Spirit eats. Make that more of your time. The Spirit has his food. The Spirit has his education. Those who sow to the flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. Those who sow to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Now, this Spirit they are talking about, they're not talking about God. They say, if you sow to your flesh, that flesh that you empowered will lead you into death, into corruption. If you sow to your Spirit, that your Spirit that you empowered will lead you into life everlasting. What does it mean to sow to your Spirit? It means you gave importance and you gave emphasis to the need of your Spirit. The average human gives a bulk of time to entertainment. You are on your phone from morning till any time, any spare time you have is mobile phone. Any small spare time is the TV screen. You are either watching movie or you are checking people's status or you are zooming one picture or another and you think that your flesh will be obedient to your Spirit. Who did you sow to in all of these things you did in entertainment? Who did you think ate from that food? What? Hi. Then you now come and pretend like you are confused. I don't know why. The things I want to do, I don't see myself doing it. You empowered your flesh. Your flesh was the only benefactor of that chunk of time given to entertainment. It was only your flesh that benefited. Meanwhile, if you would have fasted a bit, if you would have read the word a bit, if you would have listened to someone a bit, if you would have prayed a bit, if you would have meditated on the word a bit, you would have found out that you have energized your spirit. Living righteous, holiness, victorious living is not rocket science. It is predictable. If you feed your spirit, he will rule the flesh. If you starve your spirit, the flesh will bully it. So, you are who you are because of what you are giving time to. It is who you are feeding that is leading you. This is why I said the battle of focus. Satan's agenda is to keep your gaze on the flesh. So, although you are in church, you are learning about fire. Holy Ghost, you are the Holy Ghost. You know that point where you get so conscious of his presence? Every step of the way, you can pick his warning. You can pick his grievance. Even clothes you want to wear, the Holy Ghost can give you his perspective. He will not speak to you about little things if you are not paying attention to him. There are no-go area that God does not have any... Who told you to intervene in this matter? God knows. Even God knows that he has no opinion on your dressing. So he cannot talk to you about everything. There's a way you walk and pass a person and the Holy Ghost says, why did you not greet him? This is the way of a spiritual man. There's a way you hold something and you just left it carelessly. Maybe a small nylon, one small leather. And you just dropped it. And you are moving. It's a normal thing. Any human being can do it. But because your life is guided by a compass, it's not you. You are not the one that chooses how you move. Something say, go back. Pick that nylon from where you drop it. Then you take 5 steps in rebellion. And you stop. like a joke. Everybody looking at you like a madman. This is why they say the way of a spiritual man is like the wind. You don't know where he's coming from. You don't know. He can stand up like this. The Holy Ghost will say, stop. You see him in front of the car. The Holy Ghost say, don't enter. Meanwhile, he has paid. Because he is guided by the proceeding word of God. As it is living God, it is entering his heart. That is why you can never catch that man. It is God that whispers to him. Then you go back with shame and bend down and pick it. And you hold it. He say, put it in your pocket. It's a beautiful thing to be led by the Spirit of God. As many as are led by the Spirit, they are the sons of God. Meanwhile, if God is leading you, he will lead you against your will many times. He will lead you against your own choice. And you will know. It is pretense to claim you didn't know what God's will is. You will know. You will just know. You know the way you know that you are born again? There's nobody gave you any letter and said congratulations. Or one angel appeared and gave you a certificate and said, son of God, with your registration number somewhere up there. No. The Bible says, the Spirit beareth witness with your spirit that we are sons of God. So it is a matter of knowing. That you can't prove it. Somebody say, prove to me that you are really born again. I just know. That's how you cannot prove why you are doing what you are doing. Because I just know I heard God. They say, hey, you want to marry from this tribe? Don't you know the things that people face? But I heard God. I know I heard him. Let me tell you something about this thing I'm teaching about this night. If you are able to submit to the leading of the Spirit, you have guaranteed safety in both time and eternity. The reason why false prophets are busy rampant. If only men can hear God, why should a man tell you what God is saying for you? What happened to your own ear? You know what the heartbeat of the Father is? That's why the veil of the Holy of Holies was torn. So that nobody should stand on behalf of any other person again. All men can come. Come and know God for yourself. Come and experience him by yourself. I'm looking for that day when I will climb this stage. And before I even open the Bible. Many of you are already in that reality. Some of you, you know what I'm about to share even before I come up stage. God somehow whispers that burden. You don't know the exact words, but there is a burden in your heart that is tilted in that direction. This is how we know. Those of you who didn't miss the Solemn Assembly, I brought a concept of spirit cities, and I taught it. I touched Egypt, told you a bit about Babylon, gave you a hint of Sodom, to show you that the curriculum of the Spirit is in synergy. When God's servant showed up, the first thing that needed to be opened in the current revelatory emphasis of God is spirit cities, the cities of spirits. This is why, whether you live here, you go to Onitsha, or you go to Benin, a Christian in any of these places should have the same values. Our environment should not shape us. Let's pray for 1 minute. Stir your spirit. Just charge something on your inside. Ask the Lord. Ask the Lord. Restore my capacity to hear your voice. Give me the ears. The ears that hear you. has been recreated. You have the right facility to host God. You have the right facility to be led. Oh my God. As many as are led by the Spirit. As many as are led by the Spirit of God. They are the sons of God. Produces performance. The only thing you can control is what you are focusing on. That's the only part you can control, because it is what you are focusing on that is responsible for what you are conscious of. And then what you are conscious of is responsible for the performance around your life. This is why put on your television and see what the average news is. It's bad news. Bad news. Tragedies. Breaking news. It is to keep your gaze focusing on that reality. Meanwhile, the Bible says, when the world will say there is a casting down, you will say there is a lifting. But you cannot say there is a lifting. Forget that thing we are saying in church. There is a lifting. It's not what you are saying with your mouth. It is a posture you assume. And the reason why you cannot stand like that is because your heart is choked with tragedies. You have allowed all of the happenings that the world wants you to see. This is why I was reading about the biography of Smith Wigglesworth. He said he does not read newspapers. Now, I'm not advocating for ignorance that you don't want to follow what is going on. He says, we make the news. This is the opinion of this man. He knows that if he is choking his mind with what the world is trying to pump into him, a time will come, even to believe God will be hard for you, because fear will be everywhere. Know God, know him. Know him. The knowledge of God I'm talking about is not having a cerebral interaction with God. The way a man knows his wife, a woman knows her husband. Know God. Know God. Oh, Jesus. You won't stop. No, you won't stop till my life look like you. You won't stop. You won't stop till my life look like you. Yeah. Of us are trying to confess good things. We are trying to confess positive things. We are trying to speak the word of God. in the face of challenge, in the face of danger, your first response is a proof of what you are occupied by. If you are full of the word, if the word of God abides in you richly, the slightest touch, the slightest provocation, the slightest shaking around you, your reaction will be scripture. Because out of the abundance of the heart, your mouth must speak. You cannot but speak what is in your heart. This is why I'm repeating it. Many of us, our attention is in, I've been struggling with, let's say somebody's challenge now is anger. I've been dealing with anger. How can I overcome this thing? This thing has caused me a lot of challenge. I've lost a lot of friends. See what I did to my wife. See what I did to my husband. Look at the challenge. While you are talking about that anger, dissecting anger will not bring the solution. Discussing the disadvantage of walking in anger will not bring the solution. Your deliverance is walk in the spirit. So remove your gaze from all of the areas of your fault. Single in your attention into where the God life is. This life that I have is the life of Christ in me. This life that I have is the life of God. This life that I have is the life of Christ in me. This life that I have is the life of God. Zoe, Zoe, Zoe. Listen, in 1 John chapter 5 verse 13, I want to show you a scripture. It's not enough. You can be born again and you have the greatest opportunity and capacity, yet you will live in disadvantage. See what the scripture says. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life. He says, I'm writing these things to you so that you will know what you have. I'm writing these things to you so that you will know the kind of life that you carry. How can people have eternal life and somebody need to remind them that I am writing these things to you that you will know that you have eternal life? Because you can carry it and walk in ignorance. You can have eternal life and you are still a victim in the hand of demons. You are still vulnerable before witches. Because if you are not focused on that life, consciousness of that life on your inside will not be built. You don't know what you carry because your focus is wrong. The moment you are focused on the right source, I have been bought with a price, purchased from the kingdom of darkness, washed with the blood, exempted from every crime. I have not only been bailed from my offense, I have been justified, I have been glorified, I have been given the rewards of Jesus' labor. I sit exalted. Hey, when these things are happening on your inside, when you and a demon meet, you can say, look into my eye. The authority you are wielding, you are not conscious of yourself. Your focus is on the one who has prevailed. This is why when they look at you and they say, you, they know that you have a wrong focus. They are trying to remove your eye from Jesus because they know that all you know is yourself. So when they say, you, that you is a good question. Yes, me. The real you is worthless. The real you is a sinner. For all have sinned and fallen short. So when they say, you, not a time for your faith. The reason why your faith dwindled. I remember we were having one deliverance session at Habakkuk Hall. A demon became aggressive and began to speak loud. Then a brother was moved by inspiration. He now went and did like this. So, while other people were praying with the demonized. The demon was in anguish. When this strange man came and did like this, the demon now isolated him from all the other people praying. The demon did not look at him and said, "Even you? If there's anything that thing was communicating, is that, but please, let's be guided. Serious people are doing something, so even children are coming here." The reason why your faith is deflated is because you are looking at the wrong focus. Keep your gaze on Jesus. If you look at yourself, you will fall. Because the you that they are making reference to, you do not in any way have capacity to live up to the expectations of God. So, where you draw your strength from is, you keep your eye perpetually on He that has done. The Bible says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Your gaze is perpetually on Him. So that the moment they say, the response from you is, this one, you don't say it. You charge your spirit with it. I have been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. What the demon is trying to say, that you want to summon something of 15 years ago. Because what they do, they are masters of accusations. In fact, one of the titles Satan had in the eternal court is the accuser of the brethren. It's a known title. It's not even rebellious angels that gave him that title. It is among princes in light. They say the accuser of the brethren. Satan has a file. If you do anyhow, he will open and say, "Let's make reference to 14th of February, 1992. No, leave the 1992 on. Let's look at 1990 first. You will be amazed. He will puncture your faith. You will enter God's presence and lift holy hands. And Satan will say, "You? So people are lifting hand, your own hand too." If you are not looking at the right focus from where you should receive salvation, you will see your hand fall. Other men will enjoy God's glory and you will walk out of God's presence in shame because your gaze was not on Him. The hymn writer says, "Look up and live." Live. Keep your gaze on Him. It's on Him. It is in Him we live, we move, and have our being. So, your identity now is only inside Him. If anything, say, okay, I agree, you are a Christian, you are a spiritual man. But now, let's be realistic. Don't agree. They say, okay, let's come down to earth. Don't come down to earth. You are a heavenly creature. Stay there. They say, okay, see, I know that we are all born again. I know that we are spirit beings, but humanly speaking, don't be human. All of this trick is to lure you out of having your identity inside Christ. They want you to now stand with common sense and logic. Yes, Satan will dust you. Hide inside Him. Stay inside Him. A fish cannot survive outside water. The real strength of a fish is inside water. Put it inside his element, then you will see the real reason why it has a fin and a tail. Keep it on the land, you will think it's a very lazy beast. Because that is not his ecosystem. If a monkey and a fish, I've given this position before, fix a competition on the land, the monkey has won the race before it started. Because the place the competition is hosting favors the monkey. If they move the second leg of that competition to the water, before they start, the fish has won. Man was designed to live inside God. If you come out of God, you will lose. Meanwhile, Satan is saying, let's come down to earth. Who told you can live on earth? In Revelation chapter 12, it says, "Woe unto the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea." Woe unto those who dwell on the earth, because He has quickened us up with Him and we are seated with Christ in heavenly places. Don't ever identify yourself outside Jesus. Keep that focus there. Keep it. It is everything we are. I know it looks like boldness to say, you know, Christianity aside, some of us know the dangerous price we paid. When you see a man talking like that, Satan is preparing him for disaster. When you see people say, keep this pastor thing aside, I know what I was even before I came into Christ. We just came because we want to labor for the things of God. We were not failing even in the world. He has glory outside Jesus. Satan is preparing him for a colossal fall. We are nothing without Jesus. Our identity is only inside Him. We make our boast in Him. It is with His glory that we challenge demons. And we say, live in the name of Jesus. It is in His glory that we dethrone princes. We speak with so much audacity because our eye is on Him. This is why we come in the name of Jesus. You can't come in your name. It's dangerous. Pray a prayer in 1 minute, anywhere you are. Keep my gaze on you alone. You and you alone. Nothing takes my focus from you. Nothing removes my attention from you. Nina Yesune Mazankoma Mayaba Nasa Hanuna Aken Kai Kai Noma. Please pray where you are. Pray. Pray. Keep my gaze on you. Keep my gaze. Keep my gaze. Keep my gaze. Please pray. We have a few more seconds. Pray. Keep my gaze on you. Hi. I don't want to lose focus. I don't want to be carried away by anything. What shall it profit a man if he gains the world and loses his soul? Loses his soul. Keep my eyes on you. Jesus, remain my obsession. Jesus, remain my reward. Jesus, remain my prize. The utmost prize.
Haya, haya, mbaka de Yesu, tomi asama banza. Haya, 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 mbaka de Yesu, tomi asama banza. I cast my crowns before Your higher majesty. I am undone before I cast my trophies before your royal majesty. I am undone before your royal majesty. You are the King of kings and Lord. You are the King. You are the King of kings and lords. Your royal majesty.
A spiritual sterilization going on. It's a purging of the soul. It's breaking a hold, a cord, a yoke that has regulated generations. It has made men oblivious to the command of God. Now you can see what matters. You can see the things that hold value in eternity.
Yeah.
We have just a few more minutes, and I intend to maximize it. See, let me tell you one truth. Let me tell you one truth. Hold it near your heart. There is nothing, I repeat again, nothing that can equate to the value of your soul. Many of the things that look meaningful to us now, they are fleeting pleasures. It's for a moment. It's vanity. Your soul has capacity to live forever. And you are taking decisions that are momentary. You are making choice for things that are momentary. What's the average life expectancy of a West African? How long can you live? In that life, the pressure, the yearning to accrue things, to possess, this is the real meaning of the parable of the prodigal son. Maybe I'll share with you tonight. See, do you realize that the parable of the prodigal son did not stop calling the boy who left home still a son? Have you ever studied it? Do you realize that the Bible didn't call them two children, it called them two sons? That a certain man has two sons. Amen. And that the younger son woke up one day, and this was his utterance: give me my own part of the inheritance. My own. Please say my own. Come on, say it again like you mean it. My own. I want to show you the real secret in that parable. It has nothing to do with sinner. It has nothing to do with unbeliever. It is the life of believers. It is showing you the category of the two shades of believer that there be in kingdom practice. There are those that do transactional operation with God. Their relationship with God is transactional. The reason why they needed God is for what they get from Him. And the moment God gives them, they don't show up until there is a new need. Do you understand me? Why did he go back to his father's house? Because everything he had was finished. But he was still a son. The proof that he is a son is that when he was coming, the father said, my son was dead, but now he is alive. So even in that state of backwardness, they never change that identity of son. Another secret in that parable: the moment the father gave him his own share of the inheritance, the Bible says he wandered away. Have you ever read that scripture? A person that was living under the control of the father's government all along, the moment the wealth was no longer the father's own, it was now his own. He no longer has capacity to live in the presence of the father. You don't have capacity to own wealth. It will master your soul if God is not who you ascribe all your glory to. This is why when they spoke about that particular thing, they ascribed worship to it. You cannot serve God and mammon, because it's a spirit that demands worship from men. What do you think you were looking for since nursery one? Why did you lie that you went to learn how to read and write? It was money you were looking for. Your parents were preparing you to look for money. From nursery one down to masters, it was money you were searching for. 20, almost 26 years of your life invested, given to high. Then you now hear that this thing, if you don't get God, it go hard. You now say, so more add God now quickly. So God now is an addition to still pursue this thing. So your real obsession, your reward is mammon, money. The Holy Ghost taught me these things very early in life, very early. One day I was in my room on campus, 200 level. And he said, can I try to estimate how many students have passed by this room? How many students have stayed in this room? I said, I can never guess it. He says, that's how the earth is. Everything you are currently occupied by. You see that car, that house, that marriage. Meanwhile, all these things, they can't follow you. And where you are going to is forever. Eternity. This is a very brief existence. This one is just a handful of breath. You want to sacrifice this for forever? I don't understand it. Like, this makes sense for too many people. I heard somebody a few days ago saying, those of you who want to go to heaven, go. We want to stay here. And I said, what is this? Are you a preacher? How comes your heart is here? It is where your treasure is. That's where your heart will be. This is why, even at 120 years, we are still putting, I shall not die. I shall not die but live. I shall not die. And I, who has bewitched us? We claim that Jesus is our master, that we want to go to heaven. I think it was, I will not call his name. He does not deserve to be in this sermon. The person said, nobody won't die, but they won't go to heaven. Gone are those days when the callings of men register on their soul and they articulate the wordings, the utterance of their call. Some tell you, I have been choosing to suffer for the Lord. They know. They embrace it full chest. So they face the mission field. They knew, in fact, people like Apostle Paul, he knew that when he entered Jerusalem, because Agabus the prophet gave him insight that the man who has this robe, he will die if he enters Jerusalem. Paul replied, I go to Jerusalem bound in the spirit. He has died before death came. Now, the elders live as pilgrims because they sought for a city whose maker and builder is the Lord. We are landlords here. Our affection, our heart, our desire, everything we love is here. So we have not laid up treasure in heaven. That's why our heart is not there. God does these things to my heart every day. That's why I'm telling you all the time. The other day he woke me up in the night. He says, don't move. You know, if you have the Holy Ghost, you can never be lonely. You and the Holy Ghost can be gisting. Has the Holy Ghost shared a joke with you before? Eh? There are days I sit alone and laugh. He makes me laugh until my stomach hurts. I laugh. The humor he has, and the place he triggers it from, he goes straight to my mind and puts the pictures there. And immediately, I just know that he's trying to cheer me up. You say you are lonely, that's why you enter, you went to get a relationship, that you are lonely. You are a joker. Lonely? Lonely? A new creature? You are too surrounded. Too many things are happening around you. Sometimes, let me tell you this truth. It's a heavy thing to say. Sometimes marriage is a distraction. Believe me. Take it from me. You have not cast your affection on eternal things much. That's why. It's a place you deliver your heart to. Eh? It will be God that will say, marry. And don't suffer that woman. I am serious. You see all these, you just go to the market, you now come back and say, Kai, there's a material we want to do and co. And this is the, you are not participating in a senate in the divine. That's why. When thrones and princes sit, You have never attended any throne room meeting. You have never beheld the procession of his courts. So nothing obsesses you. If you see that sight once, even if it's once in your lifetime, something will die inside your heart. Something that craves for this world will die. Anybody that has had an out-of-body experience, there is something it does to them. It makes them realize how fake this world is. They have interacted with the real. If you have ever seen your body on the bed, lifeless, and I have seen it three times. I have seen myself looking on my bed, very helpless, and I saw the real place my consciousness is, was moving away from that body. I've been summoned before into the throne room. I have seen it. I have seen the quietness that suggests the purity of the realm. Nobody tells you. You will begin to cry. I'm not talking about sound. It is silence that costs you guilt. It enters your soul. It now makes you to x-ray yourself quickly. You will begin to weep immediately. When you come back, even breakfast will not have taste. For some time, you will be trying to adjust to what is here. Meanwhile, that's where you are heading to. And a great deal of people is, when they die, that's the first time in their life they will realize that there's another world outside this one. So do not let it. Okay? That's why all your heart, all your ambition, all your obsession, your love is here. The other day I woke up, like I was telling you guys, and the Holy Ghost told me, don't move, remain as you are. He said, look at where you are sleeping on this bed. And I looked, and I saw that there's a big part of the bed empty. This, how many parts of bed can only you sleep per time? I said, only this space. He said, how many room can you sleep in per night? I said, one room. I didn't know where it was going to until I realized I was trying to kill that appetite of lust and that yearning to accrue, to get. Godliness and contentment is great gain. Many of you already have enough to eat, enough clothes to cover your body. You are not ashamed of anything. Nobody is coming to pressure you to pay up anything. But you are not still at peace. Because the world has programmed restlessness into your soul. And let me tell you what that does. Because if I had time, I would have showed you the tools that have capacity to choke the word of God out of the life of a man. One of it is the cares of this world. And that's what Jesus meant when he spoke about the seed that fell into thorns. Among thorns, rather. He says those thorns are the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches. And the lust of the world. He says, they choke the word of God. God's word can be choked out of your life. You'll be ever hearing it, but it will never produce a fruit in your life. You too, when you are old. You too, when God calls you home. You too, when your time is over. You will leave everything you gathered, everything you earned. You will leave it behind. Strangers will carry it. Some of you, the first thing they will do, they will sell that thing that is your biggest pride. They will sell it. They will call me Kwalabi. Hey, how much you will give us for this? You see that your shoe? That your canvas you are doing guy with? Hi. Now, you have entered a realm that you are naked. You have many clothes here. You didn't gather clothes for yourself in Zion. Now appeared there. Have you ever gone to a land where, as you arrived there, there was nobody waiting to receive you? You are a stranger. You went to a place for the first time in your life, and you don't have any contact person to receive you and to show you. That's how many of us will flow into eternity. You have not laid up treasure. Meanwhile, when some people die, the heaven will give them a standing ovation. People like Stephen, when he was about to exit time, Jesus says, this type, we don't sit down as they enter. He lifted up his eyes and he saw Jesus standing. They gave him a procession. This is how princes transit into eternity. This is the prize, the token of Matthias. Because their death is a proof of their conviction. They cannot deny their faith. They have found something stronger than life. I know you wish that when you came here, I just saw you, I began to prophesy things into your life. Anything, you will leave it behind. You will go. See, look for God. Find Him. Love Him genuinely. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. When it's all said and done, it says, fear God, keep His commandment. This is the whole duty of man. This is why you are here. To advance God's commandment and to fear Him. That's why you are here. Anything outside this one. I still have 15 minutes. War against transformation. War against transformation. I'll do that in 10 minutes and then I'll minister to us. War against transformation. War against transformation. If you are with me, please shout, Amen. Jesus says, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. The same Jesus. And the Jesus that is referring to himself as the way, the truth, and the life is the word that became flesh. Because the Bible told us in John chapter 1 from verse 1 to 5 that he was the word of God that became flesh. And now that word of God says he is the way, that he is the truth, and he is the life. Now, if the word of God introduces himself as the way, the truth, and the life, when you interact with the person of Jesus by his word, you'll be interacting with three different layers of reality. And this is where Satan has caused a lot of resistance and attack for our generation. And I think I should just show us a few things that will help us greatly. John chapter 14, verse 6. Everybody? John chapter 14, verse 6. Let's read together at the count of two. One, two, go. When Jesus says he is the way and he is the truth and he is the life, what was he saying? I feel like if I press these things further, I may not be able to finish it before the allotted time. Have you seen people who don't believe in God? They are basically atheists, but they have doctorate in theology. Let's talk now. Masters in Christian studies and New Testament PhD in the Pauline epistles. They are exposed to the real things that orchestrated our conversion and our transformation, but it did not produce any particular conviction in them. So, if they sit with you and they reason with you, they can make you think you are a joker based on the kind of knowledge about your God that they know, but it has not produced conviction in them. This is what the way is. When you come before any scripture, any verse, any book, the first layer of reality you interact with is called the way. The way is informative, is narrative, is explanative, is to fortify you with the knowledge of God. But the fact that you now have the knowledge of God, it is your duty to either choose to apply the knowledge. You know, you can know many things, but you don't believe everything you know. Amen. Now, the way is to familiarize you with the knowledge of the Holy One, that you know it. Now, you can hold that knowledge in unbelief. You can hold it in pride. You can hold it in all kinds of negative posture, and it will not yield anything in you. In fact, Jesus diagnosed a condition of frustration in his time. There are people who are always around spiritual things. No, it was the Apostle Paul that diagnosed this matter. He says, as regarding them, ever learning, but never coming to the comprehension of the truth. So they are always amassing new knowledge, but it has not produced any particular conviction in them. So when you open, for instance, by his stripe, we were healed, is the scripture, right? When you look at it, it can be informative that according to the Bible, that people were healed when Jesus died. You can relate with it at that level, and as long as it is at that level, all you have is head knowledge, because you only have information. Everything you read that became knowledge in your head, it is your responsibility to meditate on what you have known. So you add meditation plus knowledge so that it builds something new called conviction. It is meditation on knowledge that builds it into the second encounter. When you start reading, by his stripes we were healed, by his stripes we were healed, now it's not in your head again, you are meditating on it. You remember how Joshua 1 verse 8 I think put it, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate upon it day and night. You see the progression. It will not depart out of your mouth. Why was it in your mouth? You were reading it. When you are done reading it, the next thing is you start meditating upon what you have read. At a point, it was only information you are reading. But now that you have joined meditation on it, there's a second layer of interaction you hit in that scripture. It's no longer the way. It's called the truth. It is in this part of the truth. That's where you interact with the power of the scripture. Because it is the truth that can make you free. It's not the way. It is the truth that hosts your freedom. It is where you have seen yourself inside that, by his stripes we were healed. You saw yourself inside that we. It is meditation that brought you there. We come and listen, jot. Open the jotter of the average Christian. By December, you will see Rema. But he cannot. I'm teaching you today how to make the word become flesh. From information, it becomes flesh in your life. There are things in some people's jotter. If it is in their life, there will be a sign and a wonder.
Adosh, you are mighty on your throne.
Look. At that point, where you sometimes you sit like this, have the Holy Ghost intentionally tried to quicken a scripture in your heart before? What he was doing, he was inviting you into meditation. That is where way become truth. I am the way wants to evolve into truth. Truth means you have built personal conviction. It's no longer knowledge. It's now your belief. I believe it. Meanwhile, you will not believe it at face value. It is the fellowship of meditation. As you continue to ponder on it, you will come into a personalized understanding. Then you can now believe. That point that you believe it, that is when it can set you free. Because it is now that it is your truth. It is your truth. Nobody can take it from you. For example, Jesus died for me is my truth. Because I have meditated on it long enough. I have accepted it. This is my truth. If I tell an unbeliever that has not even fellowship with this matter that Jesus died for you, it is most likely going to sound somehow to him for a while. But there is a point it gets to. You don't need to think it twice. It's your truth. I just know that I was in him when he was crucified. Because I relate with the truth now. What if it's the truth that is all that we have? Because the zenith of the truth is to bring conviction and believe. You now believe it. It's no longer just information. It is now your conviction, your persuasion. Now that you believe that by his stripes you are healed, and really now you are healed, how can you share this reality that you are now enjoying with another human being? It's only when you have entered the life of that scripture. You can preach to people all you want. It is only life that is transferred to men as light. The Bible says, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. So if you don't have life, you cannot shine light to men. You cannot communicate that scripture to another. All you have is head knowledge. Now, those people who went, okay, see, have you seen a CRS teacher that is not born again? Don't pretend now. What he has is the way. He's a teacher of the way. All the scriptures are with him, but there's no conviction. Because he has not been summoned into the place where only truths bear. And you cannot enter truth until you meditate. When you meditate on the scripture much, the life of that scripture is quickened on your inside. That life becomes your conviction, your belief. But you don't stop there. If you carry that scripture into prayer, you transit from truth into life. Because it is priesthood that opens up the capacities of scriptures to us. It gives us the ability now to invite other people into that experience. If you are reading a scripture, and all you are doing that you read, you now cover it. Read, you now cover it. You have never prayed with the scripture that you read. Have you been praying sometimes about something? You are praying, and suddenly you hit a point where faith just breaks out and you began to laugh. Have you hit something called victory notes in your spirit ever before? Where you entered prayer with fear, but as you prayed to a place, confidence entered you one point. As the confidence entered, your fear vaporized and you began to have some sense of direction that this thing, there's no challenge about it. What happened to you was that you interacted with the life of the things you are speaking for. until scripture leave your head, enter your mouth, and you began to declare it in priesthood, you will not touch the life of that. See what I'm doing in this hall? Look at me. When I enter this hall today, as different as our faces look, the moment I climbed here and I opened my mouth, only you that was seeing me standing here, the truth was that I began to vaporize. My spirit began to spread around this air. Because my words is the easiest way for my spirit to journey. The words that we speak, they are spirits and they are life. The moment I began to speak, my spirit began to spread like a gas over this hall. As my spirit was spreading over the hall, the wisdom that I'm teaching, it is entering your soul in the unique area of your need. So everybody is not hearing the same thing, because it is spirit to spirit engagement that is happening. It's not sound that is teaching you. It's spirit that is teaching you. This is why when I told you that I actually spread into this place, I know that every time a priest, if you don't ascend, you can't bless men. Who told you that I stood here? If all I did was to climb these stairs, I will not bless you. My spirit must gain ascendancy. It is from the height in the spirit I levitated into. It is from there that when I am broadcasting the life of God, somehow you realize that although I'm talking about love, you, what you are hearing is correction about a way you treated somebody. And everybody goes home with customized instruction because they are mentored by a spirit, not a voice. It's not my sound that is teaching you. It is a spirit that vaporized into the air. This is how I can steer impactation. Because I know that my spirit has enveloped this place. And when I say my spirit, I'm not talking about human spirit again. Because me and the Holy Ghost have become one. We can never be separated. This is what he meant by I will never leave you nor forsake you. Because the moment he enters you, him and your spirit becomes one. The Holy Ghost is the spirit of God that comes into you. Help me with this mic. Open this water for me. Your spirit. Mic, don't worry. Your spirit is the breath of the Almighty that was given to you. Amen. The Holy Spirit and your spirit, they are from the same source. Your spirit has been deadened by the fall of our ancestor Adam. So at salvation, God recreated that spirit by tabernacling inside that spirit. So when God rested in your spirit, God's spirit and your spirit became one. So there is nothing like the Holy Ghost and my spirit agreed. It is now you will say, the Spirit of God told me. You will not say, my Spirit and the Holy. So you are addressing yourself as the Spirit of God now. Do you understand? This is you as you are born. This is what the sin of Adam did. Some part of your spirit spilled. So you see that it's not full. Now, see, from God, God now poured himself into your spirit. Thank you. Sorry. Is there anything I can do, any technology, any separation technique available to spirit or man that can remove the water that was inside this container from the one that I added to here? Why can't I separate these two different water? Because they are the same material. How the Spirit of God can never be separated from your spirit, because they came from the same place. You carry the Spirit of God. Now, nobody will say water from bottle A plus water from bottle B. All you will call this one is water. Because it's the same thing. So there's nothing like my spirit and God's spirit in my body. It's the Spirit of God in me. Do you understand? So the moment I start speaking, the Spirit of God begins to spread over here like an envelope. When I'm talking, I will be stirring the air by myself. Because it is the Holy Ghost that is my operation now is inside him. If I want impartation to happen, there is a place as I'm teaching. If I shout, you will see that impartation will start. Because It is actually from my spirit that whole spreading of the Holy Ghost. So the touching, why you see people say the hand of God will come upon somebody there? It is, they know that their spirit has enveloped the space. So it can happen because you have said it. You understand what I'm sharing? This is how you don't need anybody to assure you that things will work before they work. You can enter a place knowing that unless I have not declared and decreed, they said there is no vacancy, there is no opportunity, there is no room for anybody. When you show up, speak quickly. Don't be quiet. You deploy spirits when you speak. You send errands when you speak. The moment you have spoken, start behaving like somebody who knows that something has gone to work. Don't be ignorant. Set these things in motion. This is why I wonder how some people wake up in the morning and they don't even have any particular thing that they spoke into the day. They didn't create any reality. They just woke up, thank God for a new day. Amen. What would you experience in that day? Since you didn't create anything, what would you find? Meanwhile, there were witches that did not sleep. There are men that did not give sleep to their eye. They were busy chanting realities. You are going to bid for a contract the next day, and you slept like a log of wood that night. Tomorrow is promotion exam, and you slept. You slept like a wood. Some trust in chariots. Some trust in horses. Those who claim that they put their trust in the name of the Lord their God, they are bankrupt of spiritual intelligence. So we show up among unbelievers and they dust us over and over and over again because we don't wield our strength. We don't draw from our strength. It is your mouth. It's not for gisting. For creation. This tongue is not for communication. Is to create realities. The first place words were used is to create. God said is to create. And if you start talking anyhow, your words will lose value because there's no consecration around that gate. They're just there gisting. Spirits, they will remove honor from your lips because they know that this one, if we leave this here, it will cause many damage in ignorance. Some of you, the Holy Ghost has given you an instruction. He said, be quiet. You don't know why he's telling you, be quiet. They want to put authority on your tongue. Because they saw that what you are contending for, you need authority. But small thing, you now gather, they start cracking joke about Nigeria. You now use your mouth and say, Kai, this country, now wow. The moment, if they don't show you mercy by removing authority from your tongue, as you said, this country, now wow, it means you can never prosper in this country. Because your own tongue has created your own life. It is through your own tongue you are either justified or condemned. You condemned yourself with your mouth. This is why sometimes when God draws you into a fast, it's not only food fast, sometimes it's word fast. You don't talk anyhow. This is why we isolate ourselves when we are waiting on God. Because we know that there were many things that God can give to us, but we need to remove ourselves from the things that corrupt. See, if you know how powerful you are, if you know how fearful you are in the courts of darkness, their biggest fear is that you will discover who you are. The more you walk in ignorance, they are okay. But the moment you stumble on your identity, they have lost the game already. You shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. You are not a victim. You are not helpless. You can lead the pack. You can change situations. You can alter the balance. You can rewrite the storyline. You are not vulnerable.
Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah.
You are here, you are afflicted in any capacity. Just place your hand on yourself, any part of your body. You are sick in any capacity. Pains, aches. Whatever the challenge is, just touch yourself.
Hallelujah to the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah to the Lord.
In the name of your Son, Jesus, I thank you because you have paid the price, you have secured the legal ground for our safety, our justification, for our redemption, for our forgiveness, for our healing, and ultimately for our welfare. I pray, oh God, everybody in this place suffering from one ailment or another, from one sickness or another, by the sacrifice of your Son, Jesus, I make demand for their restoration, for their healing, even as it has been purchased on the cross. And so I declare, by the stripe of Jesus, they are healed in the name of Jesus Christ.
From the crown of your head to the soles of your feet, pains, aches, all kinds of unwellness, it leaves your body now in the name of Jesus Christ. Blood related conditions, organ failures of whatever capacities, they leave your bodies now in the name of Jesus Christ. You are healed from every sickness. You are healed from every disease. You are healed from every ailment in the name of Jesus.
I speak for the favor of God upon you, and I speak for His help upon you. I command everything working contrary to your well-being, they are uprooted from your life now in the name of Jesus Christ. Ungodly appetites, ungodly craving, it is uprooted now in the name of Jesus Christ.
Those long-standing attacks, long-standing warfares, we silence the voice of wickedness over your life now, and we dethrone their operations around your life in the name of Jesus Christ.
There are those who came here with difficulty breathing. Very hard for you to breathe. Take a deep breath now, and your nasal cavity, your lungs, they have been restored. All restored to normalcy. There are those who came here with aches, pains around bones, around joints, dislocations. You are healed now because the hand of God has perfected it. You have been restored. You have been made whole in the name of Jesus. There are those who came here with one organ challenge or another, just managing it, not telling any human being. I thank you, Father. You created the body. There is a replacement for every body part, every organ, every part of your body. There is a replacement and a restoration in the name of Jesus. Please. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Everybody under the yoke and captivity of spiritual wickedness, the chain is breaking now. The chain is breaking now. Your soul is set free. That yoke is scattered. The grip is broken from your life now. You are made free. It's a life-giving river. Let it flow right here, right now. As the river flows, of God, the hand of God has settled mightily upon people. The hand of God has rested strongly upon people. Please check yourself quickly. Check yourself. I insist, check yourself. Don't worry, check. God has touched you. God has touched you. God has touched you. He has taken away the things that have caused you pain. He has touched your body. He has encountered you. Can we celebrate Jesus? Can we celebrate Jesus? Hallelujah. Amen. If you walked into this place with one ailment, one challenge or another, and God has touched you, can you raise your hand above your head? Can we celebrate Jesus? Can we celebrate Jesus? There's a lump in somebody's right breast that has disappeared. It has gone forever. You can make confirmations. You can make confirmations. As the river flows, begins to bring everything to life. It's a life-giving river. Oh, let it flow right here, right now. May the favor of God rest upon you. May this week be full of supernatural help for you. May all round help, all round favor, all round increase be your experience this week in the name of Jesus. Every door you have knocked on that has not yielded an increase for you, may the help of the Lord locate you even this week. In the name of Jesus Christ, we have prayed.
Glory to God! We trust that you have been blessed by God's Word today. Well, you can follow us on Facebook at www.facebook.com/AnacostalMissionInternational.ami. or join us on our Telegram channel at Anakazo Mission International. You can also download more of our messages on our Telegram channel. Thank you. Remain blessed.
We believe you've been blessed by this sermon. For enquiries, please call +233 26 767 6055, +233 26 767 6055, or send an email to info@godswordforus.com. info@godswordforus.com.